the book of Luke chapter 22. All right, let me start from verse 39. It said, and he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Please notice that that's what I want to read. I want to be clear about. He said, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And in verse 41, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. Be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. All right? And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the earth. And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. Now, I read this because it's our prayer meeting, and so we do a lot of things, put them together, exhort and pray. But I want us to still focus more on the word of prayer, as it has to do with what I'm talking about for a few days. That's the power of God. All right, there's another one I want us to read. Please note that we'll come back to the comments that we have on it. Okay? This is one that we... That's Mark chapter 6. The book of Mark chapter 6. I want to talk briefly about the hindrance to the power of God. The book of Mark chapter 6. What is it that hinders the manifestation of the power of God in the lives of the people? And what can we do about it? That's why we read that book of Luke 22. And Jesus said simply, it's a matter of prayer. And that is what we use to handle that major hindrance to the flow of the power of God. Now, this is an account of what obstructs the flow of God's power. The Bible says in verse 1, and he went from there and came into his hometown, the place where everybody knew him, the place where he grew up. And when the Sabbath had come, that's verse 2, he began to teach in the synagogue. And the many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man, maybe they should have said this boy. You understand what I'm saying? He said, where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands. Now, you can imagine that those were things that were reported to them because he didn't do any miracles in their place. You'll see it in a moment. They said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Now, doesn't mean they were angry when they said they took offense. I don't think that's what it means. He was just saying, let me say, they were surprised. They couldn't listen further to him. They did not pay attention to the things he was saying because they did not hold him in high regard. Are you getting my point? Yes. If you have a friend that listens to the words that you preach, you have to respect him a lot, because people who know you very well, they hardly listen to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not because they are wicked people, but usually, you guys used to talk all the unbelief together those days. Now you're trying to teach them faith. And they're like, they can't put it together. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. So, the Bible says they took offense at him. Anyway, let me not spend all my time on this. I want to quickly get to the thing I want to say. It's verse 4. And Jesus said to them, this is what is going on. It's a general principle. A prophet is not without honor, except when he comes to his own hometown and amongst his own relatives and in his own household. And he could do no miracle there. He could. It's as if he didn't want to. And he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. Now let me stop there. I want to read that particular one in the Amplified Bible. That's Mark chapter what? 6. He said in verse 5, and he was not able to do even one work of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sickly people and cured them. Did you notice that? The Amplified makes it very clear. He said, not even one mighty work that required a lot of power was he able to do, except that he laid his hands on a few people that were slightly sick. They were not seriously sick. He said sickly. Do you understand my point? He had a small fever, you know. Do you understand? My nose had been running for a few days, you know. Oh, God, they get this headache once in a while. Do you understand my point? Serious sickness? No. Serious, all this one of what must we do to see again? You touch the eyes and go and watch it. No. Nothing like that was done. Why? Because, he said, of their unbelief. Amplified qualified it and said, he marveled because of their unbelief, which is their lack of faith in him. What does that tell you? Now, let me quickly say this. There are two sides. Okay, before I say it, please note this one very well, and then let's go to another one. All right? Just further down the line, Mark chapter, which one do we read now? There are a number of references. Let me choose one. Okay, we'll probably read both of them. Let's read Matthew chapter 17 first, because I want to bring out two things. Now, because of time, we won't read everything. I'll just read the story around it from verse 14. He said, and when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. And he often falls into the fire and often into the water. You know the story. I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. And Jesus said a number of things. He said, oh, unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring him to me. All right? And then Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. All right? Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. Now, please note that. He said to them what? Because of the littleness of your faith. Now, the man's faith had a place to, had a part to play. We're not saying he didn't have. But here he laid the emphasis on their own faith. He said, because of the littleness of your faith. For I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, verse 21 is one that's quite controversial, the way it's referred to a lot of times. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, if you look at this statement very well, now let me say the thing I wanted to say. I just wanted to dispense with reading this. Is that there are two sides to the flow of God's power. There are two sides to it. Number one, that's especially when you're ministering to somebody. Number one, there is the amount of faith. Let me use the word now. Should I be like this? Okay, assume the power is there. All right, it's available. The power of God is available. There's faith on the part of the person that is giving. Are you getting my point? And then there's faith on the part of the person that is receiving. Now, I'm not going to talk about which one is important or more important at any particular point in time, please. There was a time a man preached in Lagos then. He said he wanted people to come and they will be blessed. He said, come, faith or no faith, just come and you will receive a miracle. And I went to work. I didn't see anything wrong with the statement he made. When I got to work, people were saying that, did you hear what that man said? He's been saying it on TV for the last few days. I said, yes. So what's wrong with it? How can they say, come, faith or no faith? I said, you don't understand. If you went, that's faith. You don't understand what I'm saying? For you to listen to him and agree with him that whether I have faith or not, I should come. That is faith. I didn't say anything wrong. What he said, he said that, no, he's telling people not to have faith. I said, listen, for you to leave your house and go all the way there, they have showed a certain amount of faith. And if indeed the man has all the power of God available with him and he has great faith, all right, that combining with the small faith that you have, you will get results. Most certainly. When I was seeing it, I didn't see what was wrong, what he was saying. All right? It was when I got to work, people were telling me, hey, can you imagine? I said, can you imagine what? Now you leave your house in Lagos and go to look for, no, you have some faith. You have, you know, that's enough to connect with his big faith. But what I just want to bring out here is the fact that whether it's on the side of the man praying for you or you receiving the prayer, faith is important. Maybe we add both faiths together. If his faith is very big and your own is little, you join it together, you get results. If his own is small and yours is very big, you join it together, and that's scriptural. I mean, a woman, Jesus refused to pray for somebody, but her faith was so big, she got her results. But Jesus said, great is thy faith. Are you getting my point? Now, but whichever one, we agree that faith is necessary. But why am I talking about this? Is that they asked the Lord Jesus, they said, why was it that we could not cast it out? And he said, because of the littleness of your faith. Now, this is what, because in that verse 21, it said, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. This is a question that has been asked a lot of times. They asked him a question, why could we not cast it out? What was the answer? He didn't say because he did not pray or he did not fast. He said simply the problem here is that of what? Faith. Oftentimes, we lay our... I've heard this a lot of times. The emphasis here is laid on, listen, you have to pray to cast out the demons. Well, I think it's clear that's not what Jesus said, because he said, this is the reason why you couldn't do it, because your faith was too small. Is it not clear? He gave them a direct answer, and he explained, if you had faith, all right, even if it was a small amount, all right, as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Do you understand my point? And listen, he wasn't talking about the general principles of demonology. So he'll have said that, okay, say this is a certain type. Maybe this was not the type that needed faith. They said, why could we not cast this one out? Are you getting my point? It's not this kind of demon. This particular one, we went there, we couldn't handle it. And the answer was direct. Because you were not confident. You were afraid. You were fearful. When you saw the demonstration of evil spirits, you say, oh boy, go and get Jesus on standby in case this one does not work. Yeah, that's what happened. When they saw them, you know what I mean? Demonstration. When they saw demonstration, the guys were afraid. So they had made them emergency provisions. Say, just get the Lord on standby. This one is a consultant. You know, say, we'll be registrars and senior registrars. This, we need a consultant to perform this surgery. Before they attacked it, I suspect. But I think that's what happened. So when they couldn't, they now asked why. And the Lord said straight, there was no question in it. It was because you did not approach it with confidence. You didn't have that deep confidence in yourself that the power was available for you to do this. Now, please, get what I'm saying. I said several times before that faith is not something you muster up by force. Either you have it, all right? You can develop the faith, but at the point of manifestation, either you have it then or you don't have it. If you have it, please get this point. You don't try to make it look like you have it. It will come and take over. It will take you over by itself because it is present. And there are times that God pours a measure of faith, that is what the Bible calls the gift of faith, into a man to do a work. Usually, maybe because somebody else there is drawing the power out of you. It happens like that, all right? But my emphasis today, all right, is the fact that the Lord said it was because you didn't have the faith. Then when he now said later, but this kind doesn't go out. Now, there's a controversy there. If he says it's not because of faith, you're not saying, but this type. So even if we had faith, this one wouldn't have gone out. Am I confusing you too? I'm not doing a good job if I'm not confusing you. There should be confusion. You said it didn't go out because of unbelief. You're not saying, this one doesn't go out because of prayer, but by prayer and fasting. I'll tell you the simple, look, there's an easy way to solve it. This is my understanding. You know what the first thing we read? The Lord Jesus said, pray. For what reason? That you will not enter or fall into temptation. And when he was going to, in quote, fall into temptation, what did he go to do? He went to pray. I read that whole portion, all right, in that Luke 20, down from that verse 40 down, because I wanted to see the kind of prayers that he prayed. And I believe that because of the situation at hand, that was a kind of prayer, something similar to that, that the disciples would have had to pray. Okay? And if they had done it, Peter would not have denied the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said something to him. He said, Simon, Simon,
Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. But I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That is, the way by which he was going to help Peter, all right, so that his faith wouldn't fail, was how? By praying for him. And I believe that that's the reason why he was able to recover. Because if he had kept quiet and not said much, the Lord would probably have saved him the embarrassment of denying the Lord 3 times. But because he was so strong, because one of the things God will do for you in life is to show you how not strong you are. Let me give an example. Assume you feel like you are rich and influential, and you are a child of God. You are not an unbeliever, all right? You are not a Mormon. You are not a Guru Maharaj worshiper. You are not a Muslim. You don't get my point. You are a Christian. But God has blessed you tremendously. You know people. If issues, you know, go down, you carry phone. Do you understand my point? You just dial, and the governor will pick up. You are very. If it's money, you get them. Commissioner of Police, come on. You just bring out the phone. One day, you know what God will do for you? You know what he will do for you? You will go somewhere. A gate man in that place will embarrass you thoroughly. And you're trying to show that you're a big man, they will call police. And police will detain you overnight. No problem. And you'll be wondering what is going on. And you will whip out your phone, there will be no network. Do you follow my point? And then the DPO will not be a wicked man who drank that day. No, a normal wicked man, your head fit correct for him to know that it won't be to his own advantage to misbehave. But he will not drink and say, lock that man up. It is assault. And assault is assault. Whether you are rich or poor, you slapped a man at the gate of a place, it's assault. Are you getting my point? Literally, you should go to jail. No, jokes apart. Jokes apart. Nigerian law, you will go to jail. Now, but this is the point I'm just trying to make, that the Lord will make sure that everything is against you for only one thing, to remind you that, oh boy, no matter how rich you are, you are still a human being. No matter how many people you know, you are still an average person as far as I am concerned. And I expect humility to be your watchword. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Peter said, I will never deny you. Heaven said, this boy thinks he's strong. Hey, I will never. The only reason why the Lord allowed him pass through that, listen to me, is to allow him get the point. See, if that your cell where you are, whoever is listening to this message that is in that cell, are you getting my point? If you quickly acknowledge what is going on, you can sit down and be angry with, I'm sorry I slapped that man, but you have to understand, he didn't understand who he was talking to. In fact, someone was telling me one day he went to, is it this our airport here? There's a place where they will tell you can't cross if you are not traveling. Where's your boarding pass? You don't have it. You can't cross there. It's a simple law. Don't cross there. Occasionally, some people are very important. They let them pass, and they escort somebody almost to the tarmac. But that day, they told a man, you can't cross, and he started shouting, do you know who I am? What does it matter who you are? Are you traveling? No, sir. Do you have a boarding pass? No, you can't cross. And he was shouting, I am a senator of the Federal Republic. How does that make you qualify to cross? Is being a senator a boarding pass? Of course, they didn't let him pass. Look, senator or no senator, this is my office. Okay? Security, Boko Haram issues, they up. So, you can't cross. The person, I forgot who was telling him this, the guy was just making, I said, the man was just embarrassing himself. Because any thinking person wouldn't shout under such circumstances. You try and persuade the person, you know, talk. Now, if the fellow says no, no is no. You move back. At the end of the day, he couldn't pass. They said, listening to it on the message. One man got to an airport. This was a foreign airport, not Nigeria. I think it was an American telling the story. I'm very, very sure who now. Okay, I think I know who was telling the story. Said, the man was shouting, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? So the lady there picked up the public address system and said, hello, please, can somebody help this man identify who he is? Apparently, he has forgotten. Do you know who I am? Sorry, I don't know who you are. Does anybody know? The man has forgotten. What's the point I'm making? Sometimes when we rake and, you know, rant like that, what the Lord wants to do simply is to remind us that we are physically speaking, nothing, nobody. That even though he has blessed you, he doesn't expect you to move into such realms the way unbelievers behave. So you have to start having confidence in your own energy, in your own strength. And that also happened to Peter, I believe. The man felt he could do it. And the Lord allowed him to pass through that. That's why, after he did, the Lord just looked and said, boy, how far? And he remembered. You understand what I'm saying? As soon as the thing happened, he remembered the Lord said, listen, you will deny me, all right? How many times? Before the call crows twice. One is twice, one deny. You deny me three times. Anyway, he was going to deny the Lord three times. Amen? All right, and the cock was going to be the sign that he has done it very frequently in a short while. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, so what am I saying here? But the Lord has said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. I believe that if the man had gone like the Lord Jesus also and acknowledged the fact that he's weak in himself, do you follow? He would have prayed and he would not have fallen into that temptation. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Let's go back to what we're saying. So why could we not cast it out? It was because of what? Our unbelief. Nevertheless, such unbelief doesn't go out but by prayer and by fasting. You know what I'm trying to say? Why could we not cast it out? It's a simple case. There's no arguing it. It was because of what? Unbelief. Why did I read that? Because we also read that the manifestation of the power of God in the lives of those people, all right, was hindered because of their unbelief. And Jesus marveled at their unbelief. You know the story, 2 Kings chapter 7. The prophet prophesied, and listen to me. No matter how much you talk, that's as a preacher, if somebody doesn't believe what you are saying, the thing will not work in his life. The challenge of Christianity is for you to be able to accept what is being said. Do you follow what I'm saying? I remember one day I was explaining something to one brother, how God helps people, you know? That's talking about exam. You know what I preached, that God expects you to be consistent, do your work regularly, and do it well, all right? But of course, he manifests a lot of times with his power to help you in times of difficulty. And I've had that difficulty a number of times. And I still remember very well. I will explain that look at what God did for me here. He will say, but you had done this one. He kept on explaining. Do you follow what I mean? He kept on explaining away things. At the end of the day, I just, this guy, you have no faith. I told him straight. I will explain something that he was trying to say, that I was talking about the power of God in helping people pass exams and all of that. So I was just encouraging people to be steadfast and know that God can help them even in the time of troubles. And I will explain, I will tell the story. He will look for a way to explain it away as if, no, that is not, let me be like, okay, let me tell this story. I've heard it before, and recently I heard Andrew Womack tell the story again, but I've heard it several, that people said the Red Sea, all right? That God didn't really pass the Red Sea, but that he just passed through on a shallow area. I've heard that. I've been hearing that for a very long time. I heard Andrew Womack recently again say it. And they said, they passed on a shallow area. So the Egyptians drowned in shallow waters. You people must be out of your minds. Egyptians, their horses, chariots, drowned in water that children could cross through. That's a greater miracle. This man said something, R.W. Schambach. So somebody told him that, listen, preacher, are you telling him that you believe that the fish swallowed Jonah? Schambach said, I most certainly do. And let me just warn you, in case the Bible says that Jonah was the one that swallowed the fish, I would have believed it too. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I saying? Oftentimes, things like that are said. Do you follow? People want to come forth with explanations. I thought I read a book once in which a man said that Jesus did not multiply food for the multitude, that he only persuaded them to share. You know, there are things you say, the Lord will just look at you and say, I should start slapping people. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, you read the Bible, and you, how did you come to the conclusion that he persuaded them to share? Because the people have said that, look, there's no food for this multitude. Where will we get to buy? At the end of the day, they gathered remnants, and you still insist that he only persuaded them to share. Why am I telling all of these stories? You will hear things, all right, And,
okay, I was referring to 2 Kings chapter 7. The prophet said that by this time tomorrow, there's going to be abundance breakthrough in the land. The figures he gave, I keep forgetting it because it's not the kind of money I spend, you know. So let me just quickly read it out. All right? He said, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, of course, you can imagine this was while things were still extremely tough. And the way I like to illustrate it is that they will say by this time tomorrow, a brand new Kia Cerato will be sold for 50,000 naira. And you will look and say, oh God, do you know the current price? And he said, even if God should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? Now, you know, I want you to bear this in mind that people still say these things till today. Are you getting my point? If you tell a man, say, forget your keke napep, drive to the airport and go and admire planes because God, in a short while, will soon make you, you know, own some. A lot, most people know what they will do. They will just smile and say, that's good preaching. I love Pastor Bank. You know, he can encourage people. You understand? He will encourage them. You know, he will encourage them. And that's to him is encouragement, but don't take him seriously. Because when you raise your hope like this, you all dash big time. You know, Kenny Higgins told the story once that his son, one day came home. You know, Higgins used to tell stories, and the Lord appeared to me, and then I laid hands on this woman, and the gutter went down like a balloon. Like he stuck a pin in the balloon. Kenny Higgins' son, went and asked his mom and said, "Say, mommy, all those tales daddy tells when he's preaching, are they really true or he's just preaching?" The young boy, he said, "All them tales daddy tells when he's preaching, are they really true or he's just preaching?" That is, for a lot of people, it's just what? Preaching. It's good preaching. Don't be discouraged. You may be down today. By tomorrow morning, you will be on top and you will be a multimillionaire. You are, praise God. And the guy is encouraged, but he doesn't believe you. He may as well have watched a home movie. You know why? Because as soon as he settles down, he starts calculating. Even if God were to connect me to Muammar Gaddafi, who's trying to run away. And Gaddafi said, "I should help you hold his money." Wouldn't that even be stealing? Hey, man, go on, think. Listen, I said before to you, either you have faith or you don't. There's no, you can't pretend. You can't say, no, I will believe it. Listen, if you can believe it, you will not have been telling these stories. For you to be going through those stories is because you are finding it hard. And Jesus said, that one does not go away except by what? By prayer. You are getting what I'm saying? You can't reason it away because your reasoning is the reason why you are doubting it. So how will you explain your unbelief away? I said to you before, unbelief does not mean I don't believe. Unbelief just means I have reasons why it may not be true. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Unbelief doesn't mean I just refuse to believe. Unbelief is not just about stubbornness. Say, I'm not hungry. You go agree? No. Why should I agree? There was a time somebody said, let me argue with this doctor today. I was working in the cage then. I said something. She said, it's not true. I said, explain why it's not true. She said, no, it's just not true. What kind of stupid argument is this one? You call it an argument. This is talking to a fool. This is not an argument. I said, look, this and this are not correct. I said, no. So you always think, you always have your way. I won't agree for you today. I said, how can you give this drug and this one at the same time? They don't make sense. Said, no, it makes sense. That's not what unbelief is. That's where we think unbelief is a lot of times. That's just stupidity. Most unbelieving people are not stupid. They are smart. Are you getting my point? Look at this fellow who was doubting here. 2 Kings chapter 7. The Bible described him as a royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning. That is, this is a man that the king trusted.
This was a man that was on, it was like a confidant, somebody who would talk to. So, but what do we do? How do we handle these economic matters? Are you getting my point? If you're talking about breakthrough in economics and you're talking to Okonjo-Iweala, you understand my point? Her reasoning will let you know that what you are saying doesn't make sense. So unbelief is not the characteristics of stupid people. Actually, you find more unbelief among smart people. I told you about a colleague of mine, having studied a lot of science, he can't understand why you would tell him that the sun stood still for Joshua to win a battle. Oh, did I mention to you that I was reading somewhere recently? And there are records that thing actually happened. Those who recorded didn't know it happened. They didn't know what was going on. Imagine that sun stood still for somebody to win a battle in Niger. You are not in Niger, you don't know. But just say, on a particular day in Nigeria, in Enugu, the sun didn't set for about 6 hours. No explanation was given. They just recorded it. I have that information in the book in the house. But because of his learning, he just can't grab it. What are you saying? So what, you know what I'm saying, all of this? So unbelief is not that the fact the man doesn't know anything. Unbelief means he knows too much. And if you know plenty, you can't just believe like that. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Because the very reason why you can't believe is the plenty things that you know. So that's why you cannot reason away your unbelief. But like that man came to the Lord Jesus, he said to the Lord, if you can do anything, the Lord said, if I can. He said, well, come on, what we are talking about is if you can believe. And he said what? Lord, I believe. What's the next line? Help my unbelief. That's a very crucial prayer point that I think everybody should learn. Sincerity, I keep on saying, is one of the important, most important things Christians, all right, must have. And that's first sincerity to yourself. If you finish hearing all the preaching, you now ride down to the airport, like I said. And along the way, somebody will mistakenly remind you of the cost of a small Boeing. The small one, 737, the jumbo, all right? But it's small. The small one is $50 million. 737 is a small one that Arik flies between here and Abuja, here and Lagos. They take international also. In fact, from Abuja, and that's what they take to UK. It's a small one. It's how much? $50 million. The big one, the mighty one, is $450 million. That's the 787. That's the new one. But the ones below, maybe like $400, $350 million. I didn't say Naira. Did I say Naira? I said dollars. I'm correct. So as you just reached that airport roundabout, your turn. Say, what was Pastor Banky saying? He doesn't know the price. Because you thought I said you should go and price the luxury bus. I didn't say so. No, there are people who think that these planes are the same prices as the big luxury buses. They are not. They are not at all. When information comes to you like that, listen, that is what they call what? Unbelief. Unbelief is that reason. Doubt or unbelief is the reason you have not to believe. It's not just refusal to believe. Can we enter into the promised land? You mean, can we desire to enter? Yes, the willingness is there. But come, let me show you a giant. Apparently, you have never seen giants before. Or this is your grand now because you never see giant. Joshua said, we can't enter. I said, Joshua, you too like food. Once you saw the food, you forgot the giant. Come, look. He said, where's the giant? He said, that's the problem. You are standing beside his leg. That's a human being. Look up. Joshua looks, we still can't enter. This guy's an idiot. I think I'm going. You can't enter me. I'm not coming with you. Why? The man saw the giants. What are you talking about? He can see the giants. They're obvious. You know why I said they were like grasshoppers? Sometimes they were so small, the giants overlooked them. And you say we can take the land from these people. Listen, it's not, nobody said the man the vex. Nobody said the guy the vex. It's just that he can't understand how he will pick a fight because taking the land is not Ogamo will buy. The guys, the land, you see, you know, they say this land is not for sale. You see it all over in Enugu. The giants have put it everywhere. This land is what? Not for sale. So it's not about buying we are talking. We are talking a battle, winning. And the guys went back home. I said, okay, Moses, must it be this land? Nobody just to get land. must it be this one? That's the cause of unbelief, too much information. But what's my preaching today? Let me not sit there. This is my preaching today. At such times, what did he say? Pray that you will not fall into the temptation of unbelief. Are you getting what I'm saying? Pray that you will not fall into the temptation of unbelief. In fact, if you go and read Hebrews chapter 4, go and read from that Hebrews chapter 1 down to chapter 4, but especially chapters 3 and 4, you see the whole emphasis, all right, was on fighting unbelief. Go down there. Because the hindrance to gospel, we're talking about the power of God, is unbelief. You talk plenty. Do you follow? Somebody think, you know, there are those that just think it's entertainment. Man, have you heard that guy? If you are feeling bad before, once you finish hearing him, you will be feeling happy. It's entertainment. When you are depressed, buy a Pastor Banky CD. Don't believe him. You take him serious. There will be problems. But, of course, it's not to be like that. I like the way the Lord said it to Ezekiel. He said, see those guys? They think it's a joke. He said, when it comes to pass, as surely as it will, then they will know that a prophet has been in the midst of them. Because when the man was prophesying, they thought it was entertainment. Have you heard the latest release from Brother Ezekiel? You never heard that? Man, that boy, the preacher. Kai. He said, that boy, they preach. God said to Ezekiel, he said, you are to them like what? Let me just read it, get it clear. Verse 32, Ezekiel 33. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, then they will know that the prophet has been in their midst. The Bible says they come to him as people come. The Lord was saying to Ezekiel. To him, to them, they were just entertainment. And sorry, just by the way, you know one of the reasons why church they fool these days, Christianity, no, Pentecostal church they fool well. A lot of it is entertainment. It's, you know, when I watch TV or I read, Americans, when they have problems, you know where they go to? An average American, not a believer. You know where he goes to? An unbeliever. A psychiatrist. He goes to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist starts telling him a lot of things that pastors say down here. You understand? He starts explaining to him that the one they say all the time is not your fault. It's not your fault. I've heard that it's not your fault like 10 times in the last few days. It's not your fault. They keep on telling them that it's not your fault. The psychiatrist will talk to him. Counseling is done by psychiatrists. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Now, psychiatrists, they are plenty. In fact, they need a lot. They need more than they have currently. And the reason why we don't need so much in Nigeria is it there. Psychiatrists take care of everything in the mind. Yes, psychiatrists only take care of frankly, overtly, mentally out of whack people. Do you understand my point? The pastors do the rest. Yeah, it's a matter of fact. People here who are depressed hardly go to see psychiatrists. My estimate is that less than 10% of Nigerians who are depressed see psychiatrists. They see their pastor. So a lot of preaching in Nigeria is psychiatric treatment. Oh, you see, oh, God is in heaven knows I don't mean it as a joke. It's not prophecy. It's not divine hope. It's just what? Psychiatry session. Bele. Ozugo. Ndo. Ogadima. Then your neighbor shall be well. It's part of treatment. That's why one day I was watching telly. I saw Brother TV Joshua. He said, tell your neighbor, he shall be well. I said, yes, I always knew. This is psychiatry. People come to church just to come and hear that, get their injection for the week. for the mental problems. Is it, life is very hard. You go all crazy if you don't see your psychiatrist. And some people, that's what church is.